tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid.
I shall speak to you in the name of the crucified and forsaken Savior. You may be seated. Holy Jesus, who was the guilty? Is it I, Lord? The Son of Man goeth as is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Judas Iscariot, prince of demons, villain of the Christian ages, damned for all time. At the end of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Professor Snape kills the beloved Albus Dumbledore and flees, escapes from Hogwarts with Draco and the other Death Eaters. We are left with loathing and contempt for Severus above all others, even more than the Dark Lord Voldemort, because Professor Snape was Dumbledore's closest and most trusted friend. Like C.S. Lewis' Chronicles of Narnia, J.K. Rowling's Potter books are filled with Christian allusions, though far more subtle than Narnia. Harry Potter stories make fools of book-burning witch-fearers, but Christian witness is there for whoever has eyes to see and ears to hear and a mind to understand. In the end, you know the story. In the end, as it all draws to a close, truth comes out. Dumbledore, who was dying anyway, as we all are, Dumbledore had sacrificed himself for Draco and Harry. And Professor Snape, the betrayer and murderer, turns out to have been a reluctant pawn in the greater plan for victory over evil. At the end of the battle, Severus Snape, the betrayer, turns out the greatest, bravest hero of all for the sake of love, to save Harry and to destroy evil. Snape has sacrificed everything, his humanity, his life, his honor, his very being. Now, it's never a good idea to link metaphors too closely to Heilsgeschichte and the persons of God. And yet, as human beings, we have no other reference, no other example but human life and ourselves. The passion of our Lord Jesus Christ is God's plan of salvation. And the story is peopled. It is peopled with heroes and villains, betrayers, martyrs and victims, and even pawns. If, except for Jesus himself, you see, there is no pure innocence. None is without sin. But because without the sinners there could be no gospel, and because the sinners are us, we must withhold our condemnation of every character in the script. Peter, who denied him, Caiaphas, who judged him, the crowd, who cursed him, Pilate, who condemned him, the soldiers who tortured him, and yes, even Judas, who betrayed him. Because you see, without the betrayal, there would have been no sacrifice. And without the sacrifice, there would have been no salvation in this life or in the age to come. Such is the plan of salvation. If, therefore, you are of a mind to single out and condemn the treachery of Judas Iscariot, be also of a mind that without Judas or another of his race, his human race, there would be no Passion Gospel this morning. Could God have saved us another way, some way more gentle and merciful? Surely, absolutely. But our inscrutable God moves in mysterious ways. the Son of Man goeth as is written of him, but woe to those by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Who was the guilty? Who brought this upon thee? Alas, my treason hath undone thee. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus. I it was denied thee. I crucified thee. The gospel, you see, is this. There, but for the sacrifice of Judas Iscariot, go I and you. For me, kind Jesus, was thy incarnation, thy mortal sorrow and thy life's oblation, thy death of anguish, thy bitter passion for my salvation. This is the church's darkest hour. This is the church's darkest hour, but salvation is won, and dawn will come. Courage, my soul, and let us journey on. Though the night is dark and we are far from home, the storm is passing over, and the morning light comes soon. The storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.